Hello, everybody. Welcome to Keith and the Girl, and welcome to the Keith and the Girl 2011 awards ceremonies. Very exciting. Hope you have a beverage. Hope you're ready for a good time. Before we begin, we're going to make later on, we're going to make some phone calls, congratulate some of the winners. Very excited. I'm mostly excited about a phone call with, it'll be the first time we made a phone call to the winner of this category, Worst New Guest.
Yeah, I'm really glad that he or she wanted to take the phone call, because it's a little bit awkward to inform someone. We post it on their Facebook, you know, things like that.
And of course, it's celebrating the best or worst or most shocking moments of 2011. Those kinds of things. Best impression. We'll go through the whole list. First, I want to talk about this. Christian Bale. I believe he's won a couple awards in his day. He was Batman. You know, many things.
Well, actually, at this point, I think he's most known for that crazy tirade he went on.
The crazy rant that he went on about a lighting guy being in his line, his eye line, and that affected, you know, his acting abilities, and he starts yelling, and you've all heard the tape, and it just goes on, and I'm thinking, what a dickhead. And then I pointed out something, I don't think, it didn't seem like anybody really noticed, because some people aren't sure, well, you know, is this guy not professional, this, the lighting guy, you know, maybe, you know, we've all lost our composure, lost our control sometimes.
Yeah, you throw things or kind of hit your fist on the table. And, and I think I get angry and just kind of get short with you or something.
So this guy has a much better life and job than the lighting guy does. You know, he's humiliating the lighting guy in front of everybody.
And he's also actually delaying things even more.
Right. But if he can't control himself and he had a moment, is it okay? However, I pointed this out, and people forget some of these actors. Christian Bale is English. When he was doing this rant on and on and on, it was in an American accent. The one that he was using for Terminator.
So maybe he felt that Batman would have yelled at this guy in this very specific way, because he's so engulfed in this character.
Well, honestly, he is doing a character. He's putting on keeping an American accent to yell at somebody. So that means you do have composure on yourself. To me, that just proves he's a dickhead.
It's like a level of awareness.
It would be the same thing. It is a level of awareness. If he did yell in the Batman voice, are you professional? I mean, there is no difference.
You're hired.
You're putting on a fake voice. Well, anyway, I bring this up because I just read an interview with Christian Bale, was in this magazine. And this quote from him, talking about himself. Let me tell you something he says. Quote, there is no real me, only an entity, something illusionary. And though I can hide my cold gaze and you can shake my hand and feel flesh gripping yours, and maybe you can even sense our lifestyles are probably comparable, I simply am not there.
Wow.
What a fun guy this seems like. You know, I mean, some of the people are like, oh, Christian Bale, let me shake your hand. I'd love to have a drink with him. I wouldn't be able to stand this guy.
It would be the saddest day for me when you go, that Hamda, what a fun gal. There's so much sadness when you call someone fun in that tone.
Oh, he sounds like he'd be a real treat. A real party guy to hang out with. Like I said, there's this movie, My Week with Marilyn. I wouldn't be able to stomach an hour. This drug addict looper. I don't know, some of these celebrities, they really get a break being a celebrity. No one would like this guy if he didn't do a movie or two that you enjoyed.
But then you wonder if, you know, what came first, his douchey attitude or everybody kissing his ass so much that he doesn't exist anymore? Because it's kind of a way of calling yourself God, it sounds like.
Well, you know? he was in the movie Empire of the Sun, I believe it's called, and it's a Steven Spielberg movie, and he was a kid, and he had the main role.
Can you see him in that, or is he not there?
I didn't see the movie. Right. I don't know. Maybe he's in every movie. I saw Piranha 3D. He was probably in it. I wouldn't even know. You can't see him.
He probably sat on your lap in 3D version for that one.
Just what a douche. Just what a douche. Get more people that are down to earth. I'm reading the book, Duff McKagan, the bassist for Guns N' Roses, wrote a book. He seems a little down to earth. This guy, what a mess, by the way. The book is called It's So Easy and Other Lies.
That's cute.
It's So Easy being one of their songs. Their second album was called Lies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so kind of clever, right? So that's as deep as I like to get.
We know. You listen to hair band music still to this day.
Right.
Wait, but did he write this book?
Believe me, he did.
Yeah, okay.
It's very easy reading, we say. But I'm digging it so far, and the beginning starts, you know, tries to grab you and shock you, so it starts talking about how much he drank, his drugs, and, you know, people are fascinated by that story. So I didn't realize this. His name's Duff McKagan, you know, he changed his name, I forget from what, to Duff, and he was known for drinking excessively. And he tells the story about how a producer for an animated series came up to him and said, "You're known for drinking so much." Now, who knows the bassist of a band, honestly? Mm. "You're known for drinking so much. We're going to put a, you know, beer in this adult-themed cartoon, and we want to call it Duff." And he's probably drunk at the time. He's like, "Yeah, whatever. Who gives a shit? Call it. Yeah, I don't know. Where's an animated show with beer in it? It's really going to go somewhere.
Where do I piss my name on the contract?"
Yeah, done. You can have it.
And he's not saying the name of the show? I mean, we know it.
But. He did say. Then he says, "Little did I know, I start going to all these countries touring, and their shirts and mugs, of course, we're talking about The Simpsons."
Oh, he didn't know?
He didn't know where we'd go. He's like, "I don't know. They're working on some..." Or even if they said, "We're working on The Simpsons." Well, he doesn't have a time machine. He doesn't know what the fuck The Simpsons is. It's from Tracy Ullman. "Oh, yeah, I used to watch Tracy Ullman all the time when I was shooting up." You know, he doesn't know what's going to happen.
So he kind of waived his rights, and then all of a sudden everyone's wearing a...
Yeah.
Wow.
But also, you're going and cut... You're named after a beer. Like, if that doesn't hit you, like, I do... You know what I mean? Never mind the money for one second. I mean, he's doing fine. I'm sure he doesn't really miss it. Who knows? But... Oh, wow. The world's talking about how much I drink.
So if there was a beer named Keith Malley, your first thought would be, "I have a problem"?
Maybe I'd be like, especially if I didn't realize it. If I'm in Taiwan and there's a, you know, I can buy shirts that say my name on it with the local drunk from The Simpsons, you know, plastered on the front. I might be like, what did I say yes to? I had to really be out of it.
I wonder how many contracts people signed, you know, with a heroin needle in them.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah, sure. Go ahead. He's talking about things that would happen from how much he drank. He quit drinking in 92, but started soon after. He writes, "I just could not stop. I was too far gone. My hair began falling out in clumps, and my kidneys ached when I pissed."
No, I didn't know you could do that.
"My body couldn't take the full assault of the alcohol without bitching back at me. My septum had burned through from coke, and my nose ran continuously like a leaky faucet in a neglected men's room urinal." He's like a poet. "The skin on my hands and feet cracked, and I had boils on my face and neck. I had to wear bandages under my gloves in order to be able to play my bass."
Oh, wow.
You thought he just had a look. He ended up going to the hospital once from severe pain. He said, "Dr. Thomas and an ultrasound technician ran a scanner over my organs, and I saw my doctor's face go white. My pancreas, apparently swollen to the size of a football from all the booze, had burst. I had third-degree burns all over the inside of my body from the digestive enzymes released by the damaged pancreas. Only a few parts of the inside of your now he's a doctor. Only a few parts of the inside of your digestive tract can handle the enzymes, and the outside of your organs and your stomach muscles are definitely not among them. It just burns all the tissue."
So how is he alive now?
I didn't get to that yet.
Okay.
Who knows? Instead of a blood transfusion, he had a body transfusion.
Wouldn't it be great if at the beginning of the book he's like, "I'm dead now, but here's my story."
That's right. I don't know.
Keith, you should write that book. After you're dead, we release it.
Right. You know
what? I don't know if I'm still alive, but whoever releases it, "I'm dead now. Read this."
I did think, you know what? I have my autobiography, and of course there are some things you don't put in because of other people's feelings. Mm-hmm. But to write a book that...
Oh, the fuck you book?
Where you never see me. I don't have to answer for any of this stuff. It was put out after I died.
I see. My first thought is, I put it out. And then my second thought is, I'm going to be all over that.
Chapter one.
Chapter one. Chembe, you fucking bitch.
The producer Here's a of list. This, the producer of this book.
Oh. So what if you produce? You sit there and you write emails, you fucking cunt.
Chembe said that it's okay to put things out after people died. This book is dedicated to her. When we met, the guy that, do you remember when... the movie Wolverine was leaked online. You know, people take movies and they put them online and they like the attention. They even put they make up a name, you know, Dragon Haxer, and they'll associate it to a stolen movie.
To all their criminal behavior. So you know Dragon Haxer has the best access.
They want you to always come to me for your stolen movies.
I just wonder how they
don't
do
get
that.
Money out of it.
That's another one. I wonder how they do it, because the thing is anyone who has access to a movie before it comes out, usually the name is splashed on there. So there's some kind of indication that it's you, you know, like
a screener, right?
Yeah, like if we were to get a screener, it would say Keith and the girl on pretty much every scene, so that if we leaked it out, they know it's us. But and also, I don't know why they do it. They're risking their jobs and you know, their relationship with this movie, you know, however that works.
So a stranger misspells, "You're so cool." And they're like, "I am so cool.
I'm the coolest."
Yeah. Well, anyway, they put out Wolverine before Wolverine was even done. And, you know, of course, nerds, you know, hated it. And it's like, you know, this isn't good. And for one scene, he's even in front of a green screen. I can literally see the green screen. It's like, well, it's not done, but you can still shit on it. Anyway, they found the guy that did put it up. He got a year in jail. And I don't think it's too much. I know it's the age of the internet and everybody thinks everything should be free. Even movies, information.
Well, what's this guy's association with the movie?
Well, he says that he picked it up outside of a bodega where they sell these stolen movies sometimes, and he put it up.
That's a good story.
But he's not saying like he actually worked for anybody, or he got it from somebody in the know. But
so this 1 year is based on them not even knowing where it's from, and just that he picked it up at some bootlegger.
But he is the one that put it up.
Wow, a year.
Yeah.
A year in jail is not a lot for, like, you know, a real criminal.
Right.
But a year in jail for your average person, that's life-changing.
But you know what? So you really could. And then people that steal movies, they always make excuses. You know, I could have been. I brought more attention to Wolverine now. It was in the papers. You're welcome, Sony. But I don't know. I'd be extremely upset. You took something of mine. I wasn't. Never mind. Just putting it out there, and you know, I can't make money off of it, which I deserve. But even before it's done, then people judge that. Well, I know Jesse Joyce for a fact. I gave an early copy that I knew wasn't done because he almost begged for it of my autobiography. He finds some misspellings, you know, a grammar mistake, something like that. It doesn't register to him that I said, "This is an early copy, but if you want it, you know, if you can't wait, then okay, I appreciate your excitement." No, he knows Keith Malley can't write.
Well, because what happened was, and I think we shared this with our audience, the company that we were working with to self-publish it, and I think it's somebody who got really pissed off at the company and quit,
right,
pushed a whole bunch of books that weren't edited, that were just in the middle of their process,
right,
pushed them to print. And so we're like, well, fuck you, now it's on Amazon. It was everywhere. It was on Amazon. It was where those copies promised they would be at the end result.
Right.
And we ended up not using that company or any other company. The only place that you can find Keith's autobiography is in our store on keithandthegirl.com. But at that time, it looked like a real copy because they printed it. They had the cover, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it wasn't ready. It
right.
was printed by accident. So it looks like a real book and you're reading it. And, you know, the font isn't good sometimes. And the formatting is shit. And you're not done, you know, making sure that the right T-H-A-N or T-H-E-N is correct.
Right.
You know.
So all you're going to remember is about, this Wolverine movie. I didn't like it. Now, I saw Wolverine in the theater. When it was done the proper way, it's horrible. Okay, granted, it's still terrible.
It could have used a green screen or two.
Right. I would have liked to see some behind the scenes. That'd be fun. Well, here we go. The Keith and the Girl Awards. I'm ready. I think everybody's ready. It is the most exciting moments, let's say, of Keith and the Girl over 2011. From the beginning of January to the end of December, you voted on them. We, of course, played you the nominees 2 shows ago, and now we're going to tell you the winners. We're going to begin with Most Shocking Moment. The nominees were McNally flosses with his dick hair.
That was so shocking to me. That was on the DC show. And,
right,
you know, you can tell, you can hear some of the audience get it as he's talking. Because he didn't say that he flossed until the end. But you can hear that the audience is like, oh, I get it. Like sections of the audience getting where he's going and just being thoroughly disgusted.
Right. 007 J-Fod. He thought that this is when he's going through his big manic depression phase. This is one of 3 stories he shared with us. It's show number 1348. You got to hear these if you haven't, from John F. O'Donnell. But one story, he's in a hotel room. He thinks he's an undercover spy, but takes the time to masturbate, to take a shower in a stranger's hotel room, to tell the people when they come in, they go, get out of my room. He goes, it is my room. This is my room. It's like, is that what James Bond would do? I saw Mission Impossible 4. Tom Cruise never told anybody, this is my room. Micah versus Keith and the Girl, show number 1339. We ask Micah Fox, hey, don't talk about this other show that's been shitting on me. I don't want them getting the attention. Deal? She says deal. And then we think disrespects us. And Keith versus leaving the house. this was actually 1 year ago. And when I took a flight, of course, to Ireland or Scotland. And it became such a to-do that on the way back, I wasn't taking shit from anybody, not flight workers, not fellow customers.
You pretty much threatened someone.
I actually did. I believe the quote was, how about if I chuck the luggage down your fucking throat? But that actually only got 4% of the votes.
You're chucking the luggage?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How much did JFOD, how much percent did JFOD get?
JFOD did not win, 13%.
I am shocked, actually, that JFOD got that much percent, because although it is shocking for somebody to behave that way, right. I think everyone's used to JFOD acting crazy, and they're like, okay, this is an awesome story, but it's JFOD.
If,
you know what I mean?
Maybe that was his first story.
Yeah.
That he ever said, come at, like, yes. Whoa. But now they're like, I imagine it.
Yes.
I already knew I would never let you stay at my house. So this isn't news. McNally flosses 15%, meaning Micah versus Keith and the Girl, 68%.
It's huge. Would you consider that a landslide?
You would say that's a landslide. This person writes, I voted for Micah as well. Not so much because of what she did, but because of how big Keith and Akenda's reaction was. I'm not saying they weren't justified, but it was just surprising, shocking even.
Hmm.
I don't think there's any question here. Micah should run away with the honors. Besides the eats, paste, busted cheating call, this is the most awkward, shocking, and uncomfortable moment ever.
Whoa.
On Keith and the Girl. Kenda and I even broke up. This is more shocking. Can you imagine? McNally, buddy, come on, this person writes. Toothpicks are free, too. We know you're cheap, but... Not only is it a question of personal hygiene, but who actually puts a hair into their mouth? A few things drive me more crazy than having one errant hair hiding inside my mouth. I spent nearly 10 minutes on several occasions spitting, scraping out my tongue, pinching at what I think is the hair that then pulling my clenched fingers covered in gobs of spit just to find, after thorough examination, the hair is still in my mouth. You ever have sex and you try to get a hair out of your mouth? You never see that in movies, do you?
I think you do. It may be in comedies.
In a comedy, yeah, you have like Steve Carell's getting a hair out of his mouth. You don't have Brad Pitt in a love scene. He's like, I know I just went down on you. I think I, hold on, stay in the mood.
Plus, those days are a little over. Most women just get rid of so much of the hair.
Right. But still.
Men too.
Well, it could be hair that's on the woman's head too. You know, just a hair can fall in your mouth. Mm-hmm. Like, hold on a second. You're kissing off the side of your mouth.
You're like, this is, this is not you, it's me.
Right. Right. Here's somebody wrote, when anything beats a human being flossing with pubic hair, that has to tell you something. Almost wrecked my car when I heard the Micah show, was laughing 1 minute, then shocked as all hell next. The show is 1339. The follow-up show, I think you should hear if you haven't, 1340, of course, where we address what really happened in the last 5 minutes of the previous show. Micah Fox will be on Keith and the Girl this Monday, our very next show.
Yeah, the show following this one.
So you can hear her thoughts on everything. However, she's not allowed to talk about any of it as she explains it. So... That's on. I don't know how she's gonna do it.
She's on a flight right now back to New York, so we booked her for Monday because we can get her on the call, obviously, because she's midair.
But there is something that I'm wondering. Do you think, and I'll ask her this, that Micah always tries to be shocking? I'm talking about anything. When she's at a party, I'm not. I like it. It's fun. But let's be honest, she's the loudest, she says the most, you're like, that's not a, now we're all jerk-off comedians, it's fine, but that's not appropriate in society, and I think you know it. I think she does things just to be shocking. Like, When I was in, when I'm in Ireland and I'm meeting my girlfriend's extended family, there's a time, you know, I think we all do it, maybe not this specifically, but I'm talking to the woman that I said didn't like me, you know, at first, and I want her over. But as we're talking, I'm like, what if I just licked your face? Like, what if I did that?
I know,
like,
what you mean.
That would be shocking. And then it hit me. I go, that's what Micah would do. She would do that to be shocked. Let's see what the room does. I licked the face. What? I blew your fucking mind. And you're like, oh, you are a party. Is that what she does? And is it hard to do that?
I agree with you that Micah is usually the biggest person, one of the biggest personalities, which is very hard to do with the people that we surround ourselves right. with, because we're all, you know, kind of stage people. So, my goodness. But I don't think that she does it to be shocking. I think her personality is like that. And I talked to her about, you know, kind of like the history of who Micah Fox is. And she's always kind of been sort of, I don't know what the word is, for lack of a better word, sort of running at her mouth and going, oh, shit, you know, I guess right. I shouldn't have said that kind of thing. You know, maybe that's inappropriate. But to me, it's not for shock value. She just has a very, if I can use the word, giving personality. Where other people would be shy to talk about something, she's not. Where other people would think that they should maybe hide their feelings on it, or maybe, you know, not cause controversy or something like that, she just puts it all out there. And that's why I like hanging out with Micah, because you're not questioning where she's at. You know, a lot of people are acting nice and you can tell, like, I don't even know if you want to be here. And that's annoying, because right. now I'm trying extra to be here because I don't know where you're at. With Micah, you kind of know where you stand. And I don't think she does it for shock value. I think she does it because that's her personality. She'd rather say something than not.
Right.
I appreciate it. I think maybe because I do some of that also. And maybe because I know what it's like to not be that way. When I was younger, I was more shy. And there were a lot of things that I wish I could have said. And now that I'm able to express myself in that way, and, you know, no, I'm not always shocking, but I think people are shocked with my honesty to people's face sometimes. And I'd rather be that way.
You know what's going on right now, by the way?
What?
If I seem a little distracted. I was going to call my girlfriend and offer her the Best Girlfriend Award.
Okay.
And I told her, I said, okay, so make sure you're
And she said, that's not right, because Hemda is dating also.
That would be Best Boyfriend.
Okay.
And I thought it'd be
you're right.
a nice little surprise.
That's cute.
Right? It's very cute, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, there she is now. And I said, make sure you're on, make sure you're locked. She's like, I'll be on Skype. I go, okay, make sure you're on.
Before the show, you're
saying? Before the show. And she goes, okay, Dad, I'll be on. So then we tested anyway, because I wasn't sure how to use volume controls on this new version of Skype for when I take other calls. And so she had her microphone on mute. I'm like, well, good thing we checked it. It wouldn't work later. Mm-hmm. So now I go to call her right now. Off. You know what? I'm glad. I'm going to hold on to this award.
And see if she earns it next year.
See if she earns it next year. So we have that on the side, and I'm excited for next time. That's all. All right, here we go. Next award. Most touching moment. Choices were Tim Diamond's father's death, mm-hmm. Lauren coming out to the world, and Hemda coming out to her mom.
To be honest, I couldn't see past someone losing their dad on their birthday, when almost losing, I think it was the brother and the cousin, and then the, you know, the right. uncle jumps in, the father jumps in, saves people, couldn't make it, dies that day. I mean, I don't see how anyone would win over that.
Right. 1 second, if you don't mind. Hello, sweetheart. Hi,
really,
hi, dear. Okay,
Hello?
Love.
This is good.
Okay. All right. So next year, baby. Next year. Okay.
Hello?
Okay. Hi, baby.
Hey.
How's it going, sweetheart?
Good. How are you?
Got going. This worked out splendidly.
What's up?
And I'm doing very good. I'll fill you in later, okay? I love you very, very much.
What'd you do?
Okay, take care, sweetheart. Everything's good.
But you just freaked her out, and now she's wondering what's wrong.
Everything's fine.
Can she hear you?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Well, I don't know. You know what? No good deed. No good deed. Goes unpunished.
You know what it is? You're trying to get the most touching moment, and it's not working.
Right.
for 2012.
All is good. Send.
I don't even know if she knows that she was on air just now.
We will try next year.
No, but she doesn't know what you're talking. You know what? Well, what am I gonna stay out of it?
Panda says no. You don't. No.
Tell her to turn on the feed. It's the
fine.
End.
It's fine. It's fine. Okay, most touching moment. Let's get serious. I'm taking us out of the sadness, and I want to keep everybody in the sadness. That's my goal. Tim Diamond's father's death. That's when Tim Diamond.
Yeah, I just told the story. While,
did you?
Yes. While
I'm very
you
sorry.
Were typing She's, to your girlfriend.
Oh, what a day. Lauren coming out to the road and Hemda coming out to her mom. McNally was upset he wasn't at least nominated for most touching. He wrote, "Oh, my poor heart. Oh, my goodness. You remember that final marathon at Keith and Hemda's old studio? I was so broken up that I never get to go there again." Yeah, he was bawling. You remember
yeah,
that, right?
Yeah, it was really touching.
It might have been the most sincere moment of my whole life. And that's saying something. Or is we it should, not saying something? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Next year we should have most touching McNally moment.
And everybody forgot already. Tim Diamond's dad? I'll fuck Tim's dead dad in the face.
Well, now you're being touching.
I don't know what the policy is on write-in votes, but all I'm saying is that the day Tim's dad died was awesome. The last day in the old studio, that was touching. Of course, you can hear him crying at the, it's during the 30-hour marathon. Find it in keithandthegirl.com/store. You'll see the marathon. I think it's broken into six parts. You can get just the parts, or you'll see what part he's in, or you can get the whole thing. A very fun time, but he is not pleased.
No, he really wasn't pleased. To say that Tim's dad's day was a good day, oh my God. He just, I wonder if this is why he didn't get nominated.
Somebody wrote, that. Actually, McNally, that goes under funniest moment. Another person wrote, "I'd like to nominate Jerry Sandusky for most touching."
Mm-hmm.
I think they were confused. That's the Penn State gentleman. "I was a big fan," this person writes, "of Lauren's coming out episode, but I actually cried listening to Hemda talk about coming out to her mom."
I can't believe that. I can't believe it.
At 51%, another landslide. The winner for most touching, Hemda coming out to her mom, show 1472.
I am shocked. Allow this to be my most shocked moment of 2012 for Katka's, because I think... Well, to me, the Lauren coming out wasn't shocking, so I have to sort of leave that to the audience. I knew it, and you know that kind of stuff. But to me, you're a kid, and you lose your dad as you watch him try to save your brother, and all that to me,
right?
It also stays with you. It doesn't compare. Maybe because I cried, and Tim still talks in a robot voice. You know?
It could be that. Yeah. These comedians, they don't want to show too many feelings, but a tear would save the day.
Well, thank you for this award. It means a lot to me that people voted for me, whether it be for anything, unless it's something bad. And the update on that is that my mom is coming, and I spoke to her. Yesterday was her birthday.
She's still visiting you.
She's visiting, and she hasn't been... She used to ask more about Lauren when she knew Lauren was my friend, when she knew her as my friend.
Okay.
And she now just generally goes, "How's everybody?" And she hasn't really said, "How's Lauren? You know, I hope she's doing well," and blah, blah, blah. Because she always knew that Lauren meant a lot to me. She could see that when she met her. But yesterday, when we were figuring out the dates that she's coming, she said, "I don't know what to bring her." So it wasn't the name. It wasn't, "I don't know what to bring Lauren," but we're working up. So it's getting better. And the fact that she's staying with us, I think I'm hopeful and I'm feeling positive about it. And right. She's coming at the end of January, maybe the last day of January through the first week of February, that around that time.
Okay.
Yeah. I really considered, you know, putting her in front of a mic just to kind of go over my childhood and where she thinks things went wrong.
Right.
You know, but I don't know. I don't know if I could do it. I'll talk to my brothers about it and see if it's wrong, you know?
Would she think that
I don't think she's into it because she's very shy in that manner. She doesn't like to be on stage. You know, I don't think she likes to be on a mic. She's not embarrassed, but she's not that kind of personality. She sort of lets my dad do that, you know?
I see.
What was your question, though?
Would she... You know what? I don't think these phone calls are working out so good.
Are you trying to call someone?
I don't know. I hate this new way Skype is all set up. If I'm typing in a number, it's not my girlfriend's number, but her number, but then it says calling her. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See, I'm typing a number that says Cat Mobile. If I type in any number, I think it's going to come up Cat Mobile.
Well, maybe it just comes up that way because they're not in your book. You know, that you don't have them on Skype.
Let me type in a... If I type... Yeah. I don't know. Did I write down... Maybe I wrote down her number or something. You could let everybody know. What's MC Mr. Napkin's phone number?
I can type it to you if you want.
Yeah, send it to me. And I know he sent it to me, but I thought this would go a lot smoother. Anyway, sorry about you and your mom. But I'm glad things are better.
Thank you very much.
That's very good news. Best musical performance. Here are your choices. I think you know the answer. It was between Lauren Land.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't know we'd get up there.
Bullshit Bus by Ben Lerman. In Spite of Ourselves, that was Ben Lerman and Chemda. Aggressive B by Zach Sherwin, MC Mr. Napkins. And Apples and Oranges by Bridget and the Squares.
A lot of very good stuff in there, and I'm not saying it because I was a part of that. It's just I'm a fan of a lot of that music, so...
This person wrote, I've got Aggressive B bookmarked on YouTube, and I catch myself singing it pretty much every day. This was a no-brainer for me. So, very exciting.
He was... did you already announce that he's the winner?
Did I already announce... You know what? This is the number I have for him that you sent to me.
Just try calling it.
I'm going to try calling it. Yeah. But see, I think what's making me so nervous is that I know my girlfriend's confused now.
Yeah, well, worst case scenario, you call her again and we clear it up.
If we reach her...
Then she gets the award.
She gets the award for best musical performance, mm-hmm, with full apologies to Zach. So we'll see what's going on.
Well, while you're calling, I just want to say that Zach, when MC Mr. Napkins, when he's on our show, he's done a couple of different musical performances. And I think the biggest response is not only that it's funny and awesome and very witty, is that he's so right on and he has to speak so fast that it's so incredible that he gets it right every single time.
That's right. It is amazing. If, yeah, like I said then, if you mess up one word.
Yeah.
You'd feel like, oh, that guy wasn't good.
The entire thing gets thrown off. So he's really on top of his shit.
Hey, what's going on? You're on Keith and the Girl.
Hey, guys.
Hey, there we go. It's a picture of my girlfriend's face, but that's my buddy Zach. let me raise this a little bit. I'll get to the bottom of this. One second, buddy. We're not professionals like you. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for saying all those nice things about me.
There we go. Well, first, I think you're fantastic. Everybody thinks you're fantastic. I want to say congratulations. Is there anything you'd like to say that everybody voted for you? Best musical performance out of all of 2011. And you are amazing. Like I said, do you know that when you perform live, do you ever notice it? Like, if you fuck up a word in the beginning of a rap, do you feel like just throwing the mic on the ground and going home? I would just quit.
It's tough when I have new songs, because if I don't know the lyrics yet and I flub something, there is no picking it back up. So thank you for being sensitive to the plight of the beat rapping live performance artist.
I think it's fantastic. Do you make raps for girlfriends, things like that?
Ooh.
Yeah, sometimes I write raps about girls. It's been known to happen.
Does anyone look at you funny, like, really? Because it's my birthday and I also get dinner. Vegan or non-vegan, we're going out.
Oh yeah, you still got to get a card. Believe me, believe me. Anything you would like to say?
Speaking of custom written raps, I have a little acceptance speech I'd like to deliver.
Well, there we go. All right.
Can I break this motherfucker down?
Yeah, MC Mr. Napkins, go ahead.
All right, exclusive. So, thank you, everybody. It's MC Nap. Chins with a grin because of the win from my V-rap. Y'all, the one you picked was me. It's an abundantly wonderful victory, and it's about 100 times more sweet than Splenda. I'm the contender who Keith and Chemda's fans chose. Damn, yo, how about that, huh? Clear a little space on my shelf for the catga. Uprise produced the track. I'll give him props quick. Shout out to God, maybe. I'm agnostic. Big ups to every worthy runner-up who wasn't picked. Haters, it's Friday, not Wednesday, but suck a dick. And to close up with Lee, my friends, please accept these thanks from me again. And after this line, it'll be the end. KATGMCMN. Peace.
Wow.
Oh, beautiful.
Now they all are justified in voting for you even more.
You know what? You also win Best
Thank
New
you.
Girlfriend.
And I hope... I hope next year that my CATCA acceptance rap wins the CATCA for best musical performance. Right.
What is funny when you see some of these Oscars or Emmys, and then they're up for an Oscar or an Emmy next year. You know, it's like, and the Emmy Award this year goes to the presentation of last year's Emmys. You're like, what is this, a picture in a picture in? Seems a little too much. Well, congratulations, buddy.
The Oscars won an Emmy.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, okay, go outside. It's not enough. You're already, you know, honoring yourselves to a ridiculous level. Well, congratulations. Obviously, you're welcome on Keith and the Girl anytime, and I wish you the best in everything.
Thank you, guys. I'm so honored to have won the CATCA. It was truly a delight. I didn't even know, and then a friend congratulated me on the nomination. Micah Sherman, another fan of the show, and I couldn't have been more tickled.
There you
Sweet.
Have it.
We tickled him. Awesome.
Right. Now, that's a good question you're asking, Zach. Who do I like better, you or Micah? That's very interesting. I'll think about that. I'll let the audience know at the end of the show. All right. Take care, buddy.
All right. Bye. Thanks, listeners. I appreciate it.
Peace.
And you know what? He did bring up a good point. The next CATCA Awards, and I know we're doing it now, but we will start, because this year has already begun, we will start a new thread for this year's award. So if you hear anything during a show that you think should be nominated at the end of the year, you have to mention it now, so that, because the nominations come from you guys. So anything that you hear that you think should be nominated for the next year's award should be mentioned now on our thread on the forums, keithandthegirl.com/forums.
I need to ask him something, actually. I got an email from somebody, Derek Clausen, and he says, "Hi, guys, long-time listener, first-time writing in, love this show, and yes, I must say, has made me laugh when I'm not in a good mood, but as I'm not great at emails or forms, I'm going to simply ask for the info I would like. Hey, buddy, I have another question for you, if you don't mind."
"Oh, yeah, what's up?"
"I was listening to the awards nominations," this person wrote, "and was reminded of the song Aggressive Bee, which me and my girlfriend fell in love with, as well as all MC Mr. Napkin's songs, so I bought her the album on iTunes. We would like to know if he's our age and when he was born." You know, just, you'd think you'd be able to just answer one of those, right? "Do you know, Google has been less than helpful in our quest. Please help if you can. Peace, love, and Keith and the Girl, Derek." And then a picture of him with his girlfriend, like it's a Christmas card almost. So I think that they know they like you already, but they want to fall in love with you. But maybe your age is outside their bracket. I don't know. Do you mind saying how old you are?
Well, I will just say, I'll say the answer to either the question of how old I am or what year I was born, and then I'll let them figure it out.
Okay.
And the number I will say is 1,980.
Oh, there you go.
You know, draw your own conclusion.
All right. It's like it's a little math problem. All right. Thanks a lot, buddy.
All right. Bye, guys.
All right.
Bye.
Later. Here it is. Next category. This is what we're talking about. Tim Diamond doing the Jesse Joyce impression. Micah Sherman doing Keith Malley impression, but don't worry about that one. Very, very cruel. Andrew Dice Gaga, that was my impression, speaking of awards, of when Lady Gaga was at the MTV Awards. And I think it was humiliating, quite frankly, for her. I don't know. I don't know. You don't know if one of these people get humiliated. You know what I mean? But
well, if they get fat, they do, yeah.
Right. She's like, "This award's for you, Britney. Lifetime achievement. Can I give you a kiss?" Britney Spears goes, "No, I already did that before. No." Now, when Britney Spears isn't willing to kiss you on a stage, you really got to go, "Oh, damn, that didn't work out." Pat Dixon, the officious douchebag. Everybody loved that one. Or so I thought. Winning at 48.56%. Again, you would indeed call that a landslide. Micah Sherman doing Keith Malley.
Now, I know that Micah Sherman had me cracked up during that show, but I was surprised that Pat Dixon didn't take it. Is that weird to say as we're calling Micah Sherman?
Right. you could talk until it connects. And then we got to get out of the conversation toot sweet.
It was a very good impersonation, because he really committed to it. And I know when it's a good impersonation when Keith goes, "What, I really sound like that?"
Right.
Well, that's my best part of it, because they're getting you right on all your weird accents, all your loudness, everything. And you're like, "What? Really?"
Well, I think people like to see me getting mine.
Yes.
Right. Come on, let's think about it. How would I succeed in America at all? How would I, talk at a post office. How do I get anything done?
Oh, when you sound like that?
I don't know, but I guess I do.
Believe me and other people ask ourselves that question every day.
Hey, Micah.
A lot of people believe it's your girlfriend that gets you by.
Maybe. Hey, Micah. Sometimes I wonder if we're just leaving a message. Hey, if this is Micah Sherman, fuck you. All right. Well, there you have it.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, buddy. Congratulations. Let me just double check this number. Yep. And there you go. Congratulations. Micah has a website somewhere. Okay.
MicahSherman.com. Look him up and let him know.
Right. This is Keith's Most Ridiculous Moment.
Now, I don't think we're going to get this guy on the phone, but we can certainly try.
I play hard to get. These are your selections. REM breaks up from show number 1464. I thought they were already dead, but apparently not.
That was an ongoing routine that I was very impressed with. Just when you thought that Keith would run out of ways to sing their song, right. There's a new one.
Jesse was so jealous.
Oh, yeah. And Jesse's getting pissed at why I'm cracking up and on the floor laughing. Are you calling yourself?
I'm trying to call me. By the way,
how do you know which one of you won?
I'll tell you what. My iPhone, all of a sudden, I cannot hear the other person.
All day today?
I can't. All day. Half the day yesterday. The end of the day yesterday and all day today. And I closed all. And some people have this problem online, which is always good to see. Mm-hmm. You know? But
you follow directions from online?
I just called Timmy, hung up. What is wrong with people? Okay. Well, anyway, I got rid of all my apps that could be, you know, stealing sound. No, I just mean close them. I closed them all. Okay. I put the headphone plug in and out. Maybe that's resetting something. I think I got to go to the store. These Macs are just like PCs, I'm telling you.
I agree. I already had to restart my Mac like at least twice, and I've only had it for 2 days.
Well, the next selection was Keith is Tim's girlfriend, show number 1412. And it's Harvard, show number 1334. People got to kick the most out of Keith as Tim's girlfriend, 50.35% of the votes.
I am so glad that won, because I really like the REM one and the Harvard one. And the hard one, the Harvard, that one is right. The most duplicated. I see it online. I see people saying it on their Twitter. It's something that's kind of caught on. But the Tim's girlfriend thing, we kept throwing shit at you. We kept pretending to be other people. And you just went along with it. And that I thought that was like a hard improv scene, if you will. And I thought you really rocked at it. So I voted for that one. I'm really glad it won.
The other two clips this person wrote were funny, especially hearing Jesse see through the REM impressions. But the speed Keith was working at during Tim's girlfriend bit, dealing with multiple new characters coming at him and coming up with joke upon joke upon joke while in character, was literally superhuman.
Literally.
And then writes again, literally. Hey, Tim, you there?
I am here, kind of.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Oh, I'm great. How are you?
He was saying earlier, I'm about this time I might be getting a root canal. Did you get that done?
Most of it, and then they found out that they can't finish it off, so I am numb and in pain and hating doctors.
You do sound in pain.
Oh, my God.
If you know any good racial slurs for Spaniards, that would be great.
You know what? That's
today.
It is funny. It seems that's the one that doesn't have one. Well, man, that's sad. Here, I know one time I got a root canal, and they numb. You know, they numb your mouth, of course, because they go in so deep. And then they go, just be careful when you eat. You don't want to chew your lip off. And I'm like, okay, I'll try not to chew my lip off. I chewed my lip off.
As if it was the food?
I'm like, I didn't even realize until there's teeth marks and blood. I didn't know where sandwich ended and lip began. It really is something. I mean, I don't even know. I'm nervous Tim's talking to me right now, but these awards are very important. Why I'm calling you, Tim, is I want to say because the impression was of your girlfriend, and you were such a good sport, and it probably ruined the... Oh, no, he's eating the phone.
Oh, the train.
Tim's eating the phone. Well, I just want to offer you my award.
Thank you, sir.
And say that it's for you. What's the deal with you and your girlfriend? You know, ex, I guess. Whatever. Did anything ever happen? I don't remember.
No, nothing ever happened. She ignored me for another week until I forced her to break up with me and just admit that it was over.
Right.
And so now it is over.
He demanded closure.
And now it's been immortalized in your award.
See,
you know what? I don't even think that he called her to force her to break up with it. I think what he did was he ended up calling Keith just to get closure.
Right.
Keith, can you please do the voice and just break up with me so I can stop harassing this girl?
She didn't give
Keith is far better at it than she is. I will say that.
She didn't text you like a Happy New Year or anything like that, did she?
No, she did not.
I can picture it. Because this bitch I made up, she would so do that. She would so do that. Here's I think, maybe you went wrong in this regard, that you wanted her to say, hey, it's over, but I need some kind of closure. Say it's over. Why not keep it open? I kept all my relationship open. Tim,
and that's why we broke up.
I have, that one, for example, closed. I have 12 girlfriends, Tim, because I never, I never close them.
So you and Amna are still together right now.
That one closed.
Yeah, that one she insisted on closing.
I answer my phone calls.
I couldn't get away from her. I kept seeing her day after day. So we got some. But these other girls, they try to call. I don't even pick up. We're together. I'm with my high school sweetheart still.
That's so nice.
That is very romantic.
No, it doesn't bother me. She has a family. Doesn't even bother me.
And why would it?
Right, so we got this at 50% of the votes, Tim. So congratulations to us.
Oh, nice.
That's right. And
we should share that with Victor and Hunda as well, because they were a part of it. Don't forget them.
It can only stay in one person's house, Tim.
I'll come visit.
Oh, well, I'm not going to give it away. I'm just going to say vicariously they can live through my award.
Okay, because it really sounded like the fastest regifting in history. Hey, Tim, hold on one second. Somebody here wants to talk to you. Hey, Tim.
Yes.
It's me, whatever my name was.
Your name? I forget your name. I've erased you from my life, but thanks
still,
for popping back up.
Have you ever masturbate to me, Tim?
No, I've tried. It just doesn't work.
Okay. I wish you would tonight.
All right, I'll try. I'll give it some, if you could post some good-looking photos on Facebook.
I've already spent too much time with you. Bye! Okay, well, there you go. Tim Diamond. And I think he should have my award. I know the song Keith was imitating, this person writes, with the REM thingy, so that made it extra funny to me, but the girlfriend thingamabob was gold from start to finish, so I'm glad, so I'm going with that one. Good luck, Keith. You should win this one easily. Keith saying hard in a funny voice will make you laugh a million times, no doubt, but Keith is Tim's girlfriend is like a goddamn brilliant. It's deserving of a mini-series.
Wow. Well, you know, Keith, you now have 12 girlfriends and a boyfriend, because I'm going to count Tim.
Thank you. Right. Yeah, I kept that going.
Yeah.
See how he was going to say, no, I don't want you in my life anymore?
Right.
Nope. We just got back together and click. The multi-character and timing thing on Keith's girlfriend thing was champagne. Like I said, the show is show number 1412, if you want to check that out. This person says, this was a hard one to vote for, but I had to vote for the REM because it still gives me seizure-like laughing fits. Kinda losing her shit is always epic, and this clip had that. I deleted REM off my iTunes because Keith opened my eyes to how bad they actually were.
Keith, that was the award for you, wasn't it?
That I can change your opinion.
Yes.
I mean, that people loved the latest Batman, and I showed how ridiculous it was, and now they hate it. What a thrill that is.
That's something you want to tell your parents.
It's a superpower. It really is a superpower. People now hate that movie. I don't know. It thrills me. I would vote all three if I could. The REM thing was so good because not only was it hilarious, but it also made Jesse Joyce jealous. I think you can hear it in his voice. I had to pick Tim's girlfriend. So many levels of funny. I've listened to these specific episodes numerous times and still crack up in the office. I do want to see some of these offices.
Where like one person is just laughing in the corner somewhere.
I do want to see what goes on. Best guest we are now up to. A lot
Did
of guests.
Did we say goodbye to Tim?
Yeah. She hung up on him.
Oh, you really hung up?
She did. She's a bitch. She's a real...
She's a downright cunt.
She's a real piece of work. Just when you started thinking about her, too, you know?
Yeah.
I just wanted to be in your head. Bye, click. What a bitch. That really, I want to know how this girl was raised. Maybe I'll make something up soon. So anyway, here we are. Best guest of the year. A lot of guests. A lot of new guests this year. A lot of great guests. I can only think of a very, very few of the new guests I wouldn't even have on again. And that's saying something.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people. Well, it was narrowed down to five. I said, you guys narrowed it down. Best guest, James Adomian, Jeffrey Joseph, Robert Kelly, Jay Oakerson, Dan Soder. Far and away, another landslide, 46% of the votes. James Adomian.
I also think that some of this landslide is your superpower, because a lot of people voted, I think, because you were cracking up so much and you normally don't do that.
I was laughing so much. I enjoyed myself. It was like my birthday and I had no shame.
Oh, yeah. You were holding yourself, hugging yourself.
Walter Cronkite, go. The bad guy from Gummy Bears, go. You know, Richard Nixon, go. And it's amazing. That is a skill. Yeah. That is such a skill. That you can't save the world with that is amazing to me. Impressions really are. They're better than doctors, good impressionists, I think. Well, anyway, he says, thanks for the award. He's not available for a call right now, but he says, thank you. It's so awesome and what an honor. Actually, working in L.A. this week during the time that you're doing your show. But thank you very much and look forward to seeing you again. So I think that's very nice.
Yeah, and we'll have him on the show again soon.
Absolutely. If you're curious, you don't remember, who were some of these new guests? Somebody made little...
sort of like a...
synopsis.
Cliff notes.
James Adomian, none of his boyfriends ever cared about his impressions. Jeffrey Joseph, taught theater and playwriting to at-risk youth. I liked it. Learned a lot about race, to be honest. I
love him. I bump into him all the time. He is the sweetest guy.
Robert, between him and The Help, I've learned a lot of okay. What black people had to go through. Robert Kelly, physically abused by his stepfather until he took a stand. Jay Oakerson did stand-up opening for Korn. And Dan Soder served customers at his waiter job that the NSA questioned him about. So you can check those shows out. Show 1490, like I said, for James Adomian. I got a real kick out of it. All right, here we go. This is the award for worst guest.
Now, this makes us cringe probably every year, because we're not only... you guys are nominating them, but we have to tell them that they've been nominated and they can follow the progress along in our forums. Right. And we have to say, we invited you on and now we shit on you.
Right. Here are the worst guest nominees: Nate Bargatze, Marty Beckerman, Scott Moran, Tig Notaro, Dave Waite. And people wrote, here's one. For those of you who haven't voted yet and are trying to remember which nominee is the douchey book author who wrote on supposedly edgy topics, but was strangely withholding when it came to details about his personal life and had that real annoying laugh, Marty Beckerman. Didn't Marty also claim to be a fan, but didn't pronounce Kenda's name correctly and seemed like he'd never heard of the show before? Somebody else saying, I like that this poll is always a landslide. It's nice to see such cohesion in the hatred. Well, here is your winner. With 66.5% of the votes, Marty Beckerman. How you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm here to accept my prize for biggest douche in the universe. Thank you.
Well, you're definitely exaggerating.
I never claimed to be a fan of this show. I sent you guys a press release, and you had me on. And I think actually the problem is that I had never listened to the show before. I didn't know what to expect. And, most of the interviews I was doing was like MSNBC, USA Today, these very mainstream media outlets.
Right.
And I didn't really know what I was walking into.
Yeah, I understand that. And I think the audience felt that. And a lot of our times, the audience, when they don't think that you've listened to a show, they have a harder time getting on your side. And that's why in my email to new guests, I actually write, I recommend for you. And I really say, I recommend for you that you listen to the show. So it's not because I need someone to listen to my show before you get on, because I know that if you mispronounce my name, which a lot of people do, I get the feedback just jumps on. I can't believe you can't say your name, which I'm not offended by. I'm not offended that you don't hear the show. And that's why I say for your benefit, because I know my audience and right. they're going to kind of, stand... and attest this thing. And I guess you didn't read the welcome sheet?
Well, I'm very lazy. I also think you guys didn't necessarily read much of my stuff. And so it was sort of this awkward thing where I didn't know much about you. You didn't know much about me. I think that, look, ultimately, I think I did about 50 interviews to promote that book, right? And most of them went pretty well. I mean, you always go back and say, oh, I should have said that. I shouldn't have said that. But I felt pretty good about most of them afterward. After that one, I mean, after that miserable failure of an interview we did, unmitigated disaster, I just felt like, oh, I was cringing. And I think I felt the same way about the interview that your readers did. And I got home and I had a bunch of hate mail from your readers, like, you know, great job with that interview, shithead. Yeah, it was pretty rough. I feel pretty bad about it. But you win some, you lose some. And I think that was definitely a loss next time.
I don't know if this means anything for you. I'm going to speak on my behalf. I don't know about you, Keith. I did not vote for you for worst guest. I do not think that you were the worst guest. I think that you were a little hesitant, and maybe we both could have learned a little bit about each other before.
Yeah, I did good. I did my work.
but I don't think you were the worst guest. I voted for Tig.
Thank you. You know, I think if you took that interview was maybe an hour long. I think if you took that and edited it down to, like, 5 or 10 minutes, it might have been pretty good. You know, I think that it was just dragged on and got a little bit weird. It felt like a failed psychotherapy session after a while.
Well, some people are probably wondering, how do you tell a guest, you know, hey, do you want to take a phone call? Here's what I wrote to Marty. Congratulations on your CACA award win for worst guest! Exclamation point. Well, this sounds like a dubious achievement. I think it'd be very fun and funny to call you to congratulate you during our award show, as we do the other winners. You know, all the winners we call. No big deal. And have a laugh on rubbed the audience the wrong way. We, of course, wouldn't just slam you. I think we can turn into something cool. Award show is at this time. Are you up for a call? And Marty wrote back, okay, it could be fun. I hated that interview as much as your audience did, but might as well laugh about it. Would it be cool if you send a few questions so I'm prepared this time? So I said, awesome. We'll congratulate you and ask you what you think went wrong. Easy breezy. Now, I do remember, Marty, the end of the show, and we did talk about how there was, some kind of weird dynamic behind the scenes. And kind of was bringing up points, and it seemed like you were into it, but, who knows? Maybe you just want, like, shut up, let me get the fuck out of here.
This is after the show was done.
After the show. But she was saying how I think a problem with some interviewers is that they bring up a topic, maybe expecting it to be shocking, and then
interviewees
and then we go with it and want to know, like, more. Like, say you'll go, here's a story, I sucked my own dick, and the interview felt like to me was like, well, where are you? And then it felt like you, Marty, would say, like, what, who, that, no, that's the end, my job was to shock you and I just shocked you, I sucked my own dick. I'm like, well, does your girlfriend know you do that?
I never did that. What?
No, he's giving an example.
Hypothetically, okay. Yeah. I got you.
Hypothetically, but there's one about...
There's a weird dynamic, I think, because in comedy, usually you have, like, the straight man and then the sort of Howard Stern guy or the Stephen Colbert guy, and I felt like, you know, you were making all these jokes, and then I felt like, oh, maybe I should be kind of the squirmy, the straight guy, kind of not pushing as far as you are. So I felt like it was just kind of a weird dynamic to start off with, because usually it's like the interviewer is the
straight guy,
very bland personality, and I'm the one who says crazy shit. So it was just sort of a weird dynamic to begin with.
I
was also sort of there to promote the book, and that didn't come in until like 20, 30 minutes, so.
Okay.
You might want to listen to a show before you go on it.
Right.
All of this is in every show of ours.
Yeah. I think that trying to get the book information out of you was a struggle. I do remember that now. I think it was a struggle. What I think it is, and take this for what it's worth. I'm not here to tell you how to do your career, but I think you go through something where you want not necessarily just be shocking or outrageous, but you do have a crazy story that you want to share. And I think part of you also wonders how am I not going to be highbrow enough to share this story? And so sometimes you have to tell a story. That's what I think. Did you ever feel that way? Am I making sense, Kenta? Am I saying it right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of being an asshole on paper and a nice Jewish boy in person.
That's exactly what it is, Marty.
That definitely
no joke.
Came into the interview a bit. But, you know, I think in other interviews it goes a lot better. I think that was just an exception to the rule for whatever reason.
Well, that's good. Okay.
Next time we'll have more fun, maybe.
Well, there you go. Marty Beckerman, winner of the CACA Award. We're going to get it to you, and I'll tell you what, looks as nice as all the other awards. That's the truth. I don't know where you want to put it up or what you want to do with it. Maybe jerk off on it and then tell that story during an interview. I don't know.
But you know what? What is the book that you were trying to push? Let's. You're such a good sport, and you are a good writer. And let's let everybody know where they can find your book and what the title is.
Well, the book was The Hemingway. It's a guide to masculinity based on the life and works of Ernest Hemingway. And I actually self-published it because every publisher in New York said, nobody your age knows who Hemingway is. They think people didn't care about Hemingway anymore. So I said, screw it, I'll put it on the Kindle store. I'll do a print-on-demand version. It hit number one on Amazon for its category. USA Today called it Laugh Out Loud. It got press from Salon, Playboy, on and on and on. L.A. Times.
And now a Catgo Award.
Well. Right. And now St. Martin's Press is going to do a new edition in the fall. But so the original version has to come down. This is your last chance. It's coming down like this week. So if you want to check it out, it's on Amazon.com, The Hemingway, and it's coming down very, very soon in its original edition.
All right. Sounds good. And congratulations. Now you're getting an award for it.
Thank you. Biggest douche in the universe. Very excited.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, Marty. Best of everything.
All right. Take care.
All right. Later. Well, there you have it.
That was awesome.
There are your awards for the most whatevers of 2011.
And now 2012 so far started off with a lot of craziness, a lot of cursing.
Mm-hmm.
Whew, and two new Macs.
All right. I'm going to go see if my girlfriend's okay now.
Okay.
Thank you guys very much for being part of it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
We'll talk to them on Monday with Micah Fox.
Okay, see you later. Bye. KeithandTheGirl.com